Parshas Korach, of course, deals with the rebellion of Korach, and in the opening psukim, the Torah tells us, "Vayikalu al Moshe v'al Aaron." Korach, Dasan ve'Aviram, 250 men came upon Moshe and Aaron. Vayomru aleihem, and they said to Moshe and to Aaron, Rav lachem, you have too much power. Ki chol ha'eda kulam kedoshim, all of Klal Yisrael is holy. All of Klal Yisrael has sanctity to it. Uvesochem ad Hashem, umadua tisnasu al kahal Hashem. Why do you exalt yourself over the Jewish people? There should be more of a sense of equality. There should be more of a sense of equilibrium between all of the Jewish people in the Midbar. Why do you, Moshe and Aaron, accept upon yourselves all of the glory? Vayishma Moshe, Moshe hears the complaint and the aggression of Korach. Vayipol al panav, and he falls on his face. And the Ramban asks the question, why does only Moshe fall on his face? Why does it not say, Vayishma Moshe ve'Aaron vayipnu al pneihem? Why is it only Moshe who's falling on his face? Where is Aaron? What happened to him? Is he not outraged? Is he not upset? Shouldn't he also be outraged as a result of Aaron's complaint against him and the kahuna? And listen to the words of the Ramban. V'lo v'yiplu, says the Ramban. It doesn't say that they both fell on their faces. Ki Aaron b'musaro b'kdushaso. Aaron, as a result of his sanctity and his holiness. Lo ana davar b'chol ha-machlokes azu. Aaron did not engage in debate, did not engage in a machlokes quarrel with Korach. V'hi kamacharish, he was silent. So silence means that he agreed with Korach. Shtika kehoda. He understood that maybe even Korach was greater than him. Nonetheless, he followed Moshe. He was second in command to Moshe. So Moshe spoke and responded sternly to Korach. So Moshe was the one in charge, and Aaron would follow his lead. But nonetheless, Vayika Machrish, Aaron was quiet, he was silent, he didn't respond. And of course, Aaron's midah here is one of silence. But when you think about Aaron, that's exactly his midah. What comes to mind when I think about Aaron? Vayidom Aaron, the death of his two sons, Nadav and Avihu, who were taken from this world as a result of bringing the Esh Zara. And Aaron's response is vayidom, quiet, silence. Aaron's midah is a midah of shtika, not engaging in machlokes, not speaking up, not being loud. But vayidom Aaron, vayacharish, he was quiet. But it's not just in this episode, in the beginning of Parshas Korach. It's not just in Parshas Shmini where it's vayidom Aaron, but throughout the Dor HaMidbar, every rebellion that takes place, and with all the anarchy that we see in last week's Parshas Shlach with the Meraglim, Aaron, again, he's quiet. When it comes to the Asafsuf, the Misonanim, when it comes to Midbar Sin and various rebellions that take place throughout the 40-year sojourn in the Midbar, Aaron, silence. And more than that, the classic example, the Egel Hazav, the golden calf, immediately preceding Kabbalah Satorah. What happens? Aaron says, Chag L'Hashem Machar. He tries to postpone, to delay, not to speak up, and almost befriends the people, oh, so much so that the question is, why isn't Aaron punished as a result of his involvement in the Egel? Because Aaron is quiet, he's silent, and he creates friendships. And thus, the mead of Aaron is categorically different than the mead of Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu speaks sternly. He responds to Korach. Moshe Rabbeinu talks back to Korach and says, it's not going to be like this. And Moshe Rabbeinu speaks back to the Meraglim and he tells them sternly that what you did was inappropriate and wrong. And throughout the 40-year sojourn in the Midbar, Moshe's response is one of seriousness, of putting down the law and order, and speaking sharply and sternly, and responding to anarchy, responding to rebellion. He does it with Korach, he does it with Dasan ve'Aviram, he does it with the 250 men, he does it with Balak and with Bilam, and constantly, throughout the 40 years, Moshe speaks out. And the same thing is true when it comes to the Egel Azav, as opposed to Aaron, who's silent and is quiet, who befriends the rebels. Moshe takes the luchos and smashes them, throws them down to the ground. Thus, Moshe has one approach to leadership, and Aaron's is a different one. Succinctly, Chazal and Maseches Sanhedrin Davav and Beis summarize the distinction, the difference, the categorical difference between Moshe and Aaron's leadership. Moshe's Vayikov Hadin Es Hahar. It's a rule. It's judgment. It's law and order. It's right and wrong. It's truth and nothing but the truth. Moshe Rabbeinu has to establish rules. Moshe Rabbeinu is a dayan, he's an arbiter, he's a judge. You have to lay down the law. Aval Aaron, says the Gemara, Ohev Shalom Virodev Shalom, Umesim Shalom Ben Ish L'Rehu. Aaron was a counselor, he was a confidant, he was a friend, he was somebody who was a peacemaker, and he was looking out for everybody's best interests. Thus, two different models in leadership. Moshe's approach of stern justice, right and wrong, truth and false, establishing what should be done, how it should be done, calling people out, smashing the luchos, a willingness to erase his name and to divide himself from Klal Yisrael when they make terrible errors. Aaron is Ohev Shalom Verodev Shalom, Mesim Shalom Ben Ish L'Rehu. He's looking to create friendships and peace and to counsel and to coach and to make sure Klal Yisrael will be united together, familially, communally. Without that, Aaron understood there was an impossibility for Klal Yisrael to succeed. And the Avos Rebbe Nosson notes this in another area as well. Avos Rebbe Nosson, Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Dalet, asks the Avos Rebbe Nosson the following question: Mipnei ma bachu Yisrael es Aaron shloshim yom anashim v'nashim. The pasuk tells us in Parshas Chukas that all of Klal Yisrael cried and mourned over the death of Aaron for 30 days, men and women. Says the Avos Rebbe Nosson, Pnei shedon Aaron din emes lamito. Aaron was a very fair judge. He was careful with people. He was cautious with people. Furthermore, says the Avos Rebbe Nosson, Minayin lo amar li'ish sesarachta, v'lo li'isha sesarachta. He never told a man, you made a mistake. Never told a woman, you made a mistake. But always tried to create shalom b'nish li'ishto b'nish l'reyu. L'kach nemar v'yivchu oso kol beis Yisrael. All of world Jewry cried over the death of Aaron because he was a peacemaker. He loved people. He looked out for people. He created friendships and bonds with each other. However, Moshe came down, rebuked, stern, justice, says the Torah about him. Vayibchu bnei Yisrael es Moshe. They only cried for Moshe, not anashim v'nashim, not for 30 days, because had a different relationship. Aaron had the relationship of peace, of love, a friend, a confidant, as opposed to Moshe, who sat down justice, law and order, and rules as they had to be. But let's understand, why did Moshe not act like Aaron? And why did Aaron not act like Moshe? Moshe saw that the people loved Aaron. He was such a friend. People loved him. They cared about him. Not only b'nisaso, not only did Klal Yisrael come and establish such a posterity for Aaron, but during his life also, Moshe recognized that Klal Yisrael looked to Aaron. Wouldn't Moshe want to act like Aaron? And vice versa, why didn't Aaron want to act like Moshe? Kadosh Baruch Hu tells him after he smashed the luchos, Yasher kochacha sheshibarta, you did a good job, Moshe, you acted correctly. Wasn't Aaron insulted? He sort of kept himself with the people. Chag l'Hashem machar, he worked with the people. But then when Moshe smashed the luchos, shouldn't he have noticed that Moshe did right? So why was there no role reversal? Why did Moshe do and act the way he did? And why did Aaron act the way he did? It would seem to be that Moshe understood his role. Moshe understood his characteristic traits. Aaron understood his role and his characteristic traits. And they couldn't flip, they couldn't swap, because Moshe knew that this was his responsibility. This is what he was supposed to do. He had to lay down the law and order. He had to be a person to establish what's right and what's wrong and to make sure that Klal Yisrael were acting the straight and narrow. As opposed to Aaron HaKohen, who understood that that wasn't his responsibility. His responsibility was to create peace. And it's no question that Moshe at times would have loved to be in the position and the seat of Aaron. He didn't want to have to face the Meraglim. He didn't want to have to face Korach. He didn't want to have to face Klal Yisrael with the Misonanim, the Asafsuk, and Balak and Bilam. He didn't want to deal with that difficult confrontation. But he understood that that was his calling, and that's what he had to do. And Aaron, I'm certain, would have been much, much more comfortable speaking back and responding to Korach and not being silent, because Korach chastised him and the office of the Kohen Gadol. Wouldn't Aaron have wanted to respond? And certainly Aaron would have wanted to speak back to the Meraglim as well. And certainly Aaron would have wanted to speak to the rebels and the anarchists in each of the different scenarios in the Dor HaMidbar. But Aaron understood that was not his role. It's almost like the relationship between citizens and the president and the vice president. The president has to put down the law and order. The vice president can be a little bit softer. People don't have issues really with a vice president because they understand that the vice president has a different responsibility and role than the president. But you argue and you'll be upset and you'll be pleased potentially with decisions that the president makes or does make, but less with a vice president. It's true almost with a rabbi and assistant rabbi. The rabbi has to lay down the order, has to set protocol and policy. He has to say certain things that are hard to say, but everybody loves the assistant rabbi because the assistant rabbi doesn't have to do that. He gives a nice shiur. He talks to the people. He's friendly. There's the number one and there's the number two. The president and the vice president, the rabbi, the assistant rabbi. That's Moshe and Aaron. Moshe's number one. And Moshe has to lay down the order. But Aaron doesn't have to do that. And thus, those two roles of each of them placed in a particular spot, but they converge and they work beautifully in tandem together. Moshe as the din. Moshe as the officer to place down the rule. And Aaron as chesed. Moshe as shalom, as opposed to Aaron, who also has that midah of chesed, but they work together. And thus, the Rashi tells us in Sefer Shmos that any time you've seen a psukim, Moshe's name, and then Aaron's name. And other psukim, you see Aaron's name, and then Moshe's name, to teach us shishkulim aim, that they're equal. You need both of these different offices. You need the office of the king of the melech, you need the office of the navi, you need the office of the shofet, you need each of these offices. And each of them have different responsibilities. They have to work together almost like an army of the lieutenant, the officer, the sergeant. And each of them have their own particular roles. They must converge and to work perfectly. And thus, Moshe and Aaron have this relationship. We're able to lead Klal Yisrael, each of them with their own characteristic traits, their own tchunos, and their own responsibilities. But take a look back at our introduction to Moshe and to Aaron, you'll see something fascinating. That this wasn't really their natural trait. Remember back in Sefer Shmos, early on, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Moshe Rabbeinu and tells Moshe, you are going to be the one to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. I want you to go to Paro, and I want you to stand up against Paro. Based upon what we said, that should have been the natural instinct of Moshe to do that. But what does Moshe say when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him that? He says, Lo ish dvar manochi, gam etmol gam el shilshom. I can't speak. I'm not a speaker. I'm not the person who belongs in the front of the stage. Ki chvad pel chvad lashon anochi. I have a stutter. I can't speak. That's not my natural place to be. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds and says, I understand. I hear. I'm upset at you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yichar afesha b'Moshe. And then what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Hello, Aaron, achich, halev, yadati, ki daber yadaberhu. Aaron will be the speaker of the house. Aaron will be the one in charge. Don't worry. V'dibarta ila v'samtes advarm b'fib. He will speak. V'yem picha v'mpihu v'horeis yaschem asher tasun. Unbelievable. At the outset, and as their emergence of leadership, it's pumfa care, just the opposite. It's Moshe Rabbeinu who's soft-spoken and who's quiet. Who's behind the curtain, kvad peh, kvad lashon. He's not an ishdvarim. And it's Aaron who's the speaker. Just the opposite of what we see materializing in the Midbar, where Aaron is the one who's silent, and it's Moshe, the one who's passionate and strong. He's Yikov Adina Sahar, and Aaron is Oev Shalom, Rodev Shalom, silently in the back. And what I believe also emerges from this is that a person has to understand and to recognize that when there's a calling, you can even change your tchuna. You can even change your natural characteristic trait. Your inherent special areas can also be changed because you need to. And Moshe understood, it's true, I'm a kvad pen, I'm a kvad lashon. I'm not a speaker, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks that I can do it. I will do it. And I will become the speaker of the house. I will become the person who will be the speaker on behalf of Klal Yisrael. And even though Aaron has that naturally, Moshe understands that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that from him. And Aaron, although he is the speaker at the beginning of his leadership, in the early parashios of Sefer Shmos, he's the one who sent the power. He's the one who's going to talk to Paro. He understands that Moshe is going to take that role and he's going to be silent. He's going to be the one who's going to be second in command. And this incredible insight allows us to appreciate who we are. And you see there are many great leaders today who are very strong personalities and speak. They prefer to be silent and they prefer to be in the back of the room. And there are other people who speak silently, quietly, and they really want to speak loudly, but they understand that's not their place. And thus every individual has to understand and to appreciate that the Moshe is the world, that the Aaron's the world. They need to work together, they need to converge, they need to come together. But at the same time, we also have to recognize where we are and what we can do. And just like Moshe changed dramatically 180 degrees from Kvad Peh, Kvad Lashon to the ultimate individual who's responsible to lead Klal Yisrael, Adam and Sarim, to Matan Torah to Eretz Yisrael, so too we can do that. And so too Aaron, just like he was so passionate and strong in the beginning, he understood that he also had to change, and he was able to do so as well. This is the world of Moshe, this is the world of Aaron. And Shneim Shkulim Ke'echa, they are both equivalent. Moshe ve'Aaron Bechoanav. They're always working together. We have to understand who we are, what we are, how leadership works, and how leaders are able to work together. Siyata d'shmai, we should be zochet to G'dol Yisrael, Manhig Yisrael, to continue to lead us through the path and the eyes of Moshe and Aaron. Wishing you a wonderful Shabbos.